It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. It's my first podcast this entire year, and I'm excited to be here with my friend Arlene.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi.
So she's back. She's fucking back. And I want to talk about what brought me back because, as many of us know, LA is hurting right now. We lost someone very iconic and very important to the streetwear culture, to LA culture in general. We lost Sponto, the creator, visionary, LA legend behind Born and Raised the brand. And so many cool things in this city, man. And something about his death, like, I never met him. I don't know him other than having Instagram friends, but it really affected me. And it really just made me realize that I gotta stop acting like I have time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way I found out was Arlene sent me a video and she was just like, I really hope this is not true. And I look at it 2 hours later and I'm like, no, this can't be true. There's no way. Like, there's some people that you never think of.
It was one of those things we were hoping was fake.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
And like you said, I don't know him. I didn't know him either.
Yeah.
But
I think it's what he represents, and what he represents in this city is hope and creativity, but creativity on your own terms, which I think is really important. And I really think that he was a person who loved LA, and LA loved him, man. I'm looking at the LA Times article right now, and Chris Sponto, Printup, founder of LA-based clothing line, Born and Raised, dies at 42. I'm playing this song right now because I wanted to find a song that felt LA and also just felt reminiscent, because I think he's synonymous with LA at this point, you know? I think when people think of LA streetwear, the first person they would think of is Sponto, and he inspired so many of us, man. There's so many of the people who loved him are, you know, making posts about him now and just talking about the little moments they had with him,
mm-hmm.
which as those things come out, I think it just makes him even more special. You know, because there's people who are posting parts of their conversations and stuff about little just encouragement that he would give them, and the captions that people are writing, like the impact that this man had on so many people's lives, especially LA creatives, is really, man.
I think just me as an outsider, like you said, I don't know him, but growing up where I grew up, you know, Venice was so, it was down the street, you know, and that was something we did, like we would go to Venice for fun, you know, during the summer and stuff, and seeing people around you like make it and do something for themselves is really nice to see, and especially because it's down the street, you know, like you feel like, okay,
yeah,
that's cool, you know. Mm-hmm.
There's these little pockets of LA,
yeah.
You know, and there are a lot of people who don't venture out from those pockets, but he was someone who was respected and well-loved in every little pocket of LA, and that's something that...
And he claimed his city.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He repped real hard, mm-hmm. for his city and rode really hard for his city and did a lot to give back to his city. Just recently, the graduating class of 2023, yeah. He made sure each of them had the brand new Born and Raised collab from Nike, the Dunks. That didn't even come out yet, and before he didn't even get to see them come out, and that, man, but I know he's watching and just probably feeling, I don't know.
I thought that was the coolest thing ever, because there's a adult school in Venice that a lot of people, like, a lot of friends went to that adult school, and, like, they graduated at the, like, when they did their ceremony, it was, like, at the Venice High School. My cousin graduated from there, too. So, it's just cool to see, you know,
yeah.
Like, the come up.
It's, yeah, and nice. So many collabs from Homeboy Industries. He recently did the collab with Levi's to honor his father, who passed away also tragically in a car accident earlier this year, which is, man, that's got to be, for their family, that's just got to be just so much weight. And I just want to give so much love to his loved ones, because, man, that is a loss, that if even people who don't know him are hurting, mm-hmm. and feeling, I felt it, man, I'm still feeling it. The reason why I'm in this studio right now is because I felt it, because when that happened and I heard that, it's like we were watching his trajectory. It was just him going up higher and higher, mm-hmm. and higher, collabing with the Rams, with the everyone, you
yeah.
know, like everything that's synonymous with LA, he aligned himself with that because he loves the city so much, and the city loves him, and so he will definitely be missed in more ways than one, And but one thing for sure is that his memory will live on in all of the creative, all of the creativity that he inspires, and including this podcast, including me, including everyone around me, and just all of the people who looked up to him, man, because, yeah, shout out to Sponto. Sponto lives. That's their thing that everybody's saying now. They're tagging that up, and that is really true because, you know, legends never die.
Forever. It just made me really sad just because, obviously, he died in a car accident, but it's like he survived, you know, like cancer, you know.
And what I would, one thing I truly loved about his brand was that I remember when his brand first started, because I remember seeing the shirt that said gentrification is genocide. And I remember seeing that because that's a statement. That's not a, mm-hmm. a LA graphic on a shirt. Yeah. That's like somebody saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that, and I didn't get into it or anything like that, but that stuck with me.
Yeah.
And then later on, I found out that was a born and raised, and I was like, oh, I guess I did know about that before I thought I knew about mm-hmm. it, because I do recall seeing those stickers and seeing the shirt that said gentrification is genocide. And I was listening to him on a podcast recently, and he's talking about the gentrification of Venice Beach. And his whole point of starting Born and Raised was so that he could buy his grandmother's house. His family had been in Venice Beach since the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in his words, he didn't want some goofball to come in and buy up his yeah. property and turn it into some bullshit. And so he started Born and Raised to be able to purchase that house, which he was able to do. And, you know, he gets to pass that on to his kids and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, keep Venice in some way, shape, or form. Because we look around all the neighborhoods in L.A. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was able to accomplish that goal and so much more. So we're just sending love to everyone who knew Sponto, who is inspired by Sponto, everyone in LA, because the city's feeling the loss. So rest in peace. We got a few things. I want to do some updates because I have not. Dude, it's, what is it, June? It's July 1st.
It's July 1st.
She's behind.
She is behind.
You know what? But I'm back.
July. We are in summer.
We're summer already. And I went through this whole entire year with not recording a podcast. I mean, I guess I owe you guys an explanation. And the explanation is I just didn't have my shit together. And I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, I was recovering from kind of like a, it's not a breakup, but a like a second round of being hovered in by, you know, an ex.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I'm going to talk a little bit about it too, because I want to, you know, the more you bring something into light, the less power it has.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that many other people that listen to my podcast, especially women, have been victims of manipulation. And done some things that they wish they hadn't have done, and stayed places they wish they hadn't have stayed, because someone was, you know, treating their self-esteem and their mental like a fucking puppet on strings, you know. And when someone's fucking with you like that, it messes up a lot more than just the relationship that you're having with them. It affects all of the other things that you are trying to do with your life, and for me, that includes all my creative ventures. You know, in the beginning, when the first time I had this kind of like again, not a breakup, but whatever it was,
situation,
a blow up. Yeah. When I found this man with a whole girlfriend, which I thought I was his girlfriend, by the way. You know, so when I found him with the whole other relationship,
other girlfriend, because they were both girlfriends.
When I found that, you know, I was able to stay away from him. Whatever, I stopped talking to him. It was hard, but I did it. About a year later, well, actually 8 months later, when I moved into my new place, he started to try coming back around, but this time it was a completely different angle. And what's fucked up about it is he, kind of exploited my own compassion, because this time when he came back, it wasn't about, I want you back. It was, I want to kill myself now. Mm-hmm. It was, my mental health is suffering and you're the only person who can understand me and talk to me. And so it went from that, and when I tried to, because I have a soft spot for that, there's never going to be a time when I don't, because I struggle with that, those yeah. feelings and those thoughts. And so when someone comes to me with that, I'm not going to be like, fuck you. I mean, now I will, but from certain people, but at the time I still just hadn't had enough yet. I guess, I don't know. So I stuck around as like a phone call buddy type of like answer the phone when things kind of get bad or, you know, but still, no, you can't come over. I won't see you. Like, no. And to me, that was like me having a boundary, but little did I know those boundaries were being pushed and pushed and pushed.
Opening, being able to have, just giving more and more space.
And it went from, you know, I want to kill myself and I'm struggling with my depression and I can't get out of bed to now I'm homeless and I'm living in my car. And then it's like I have this whole view of this person that's based on a lie that they're telling me. Mm-hmm. And so my defenses start to go lower and lower and lower. So that when this person says, hey, you know, I'm sad. I'm not going to get my kids for Thanksgiving. You know, I'm super depressed. I just want to see my kids. And then he calls back and says, hey, actually, my baby mama is going to work. So I get the kids. But, you know, since I'm homeless, been living in my car, you know, I don't have money for Thanksgiving dinner. Can you let me borrow money? And of course I did.
Okay, Angie.
And so after that, you don't even know this.
I don't know this.
No, she doesn't know this.
I'm literally just looking at her like,
yeah.
Okay, when she said he's homeless, I made a face because this man could, no.
So that's what happened. This is going to get juicy, so get ready because I wasn't planning on this, but now I just feel fine. I feel comfortable to say it because, you know what, it's time. It's time because people need to be embarrassed, and maybe I will say the name, maybe I won't, but just listen to the story, okay? So I give him the money. I give him $250. So mm-hmm. I send him Zelle. I was in Texas at the time. I send him Zelle. And there have been times in the past where he's given me money and then – or money has exchanged us a million times. So it didn't even occur to me that he wasn't going to give it back to me. Yeah. That didn't even occur to me. And so when the day started to pass and it wasn't, I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm calling, what the fuck? Like, give me my money. Like, I was going to do something with that, blah, blah, blah. And I don't get it back. Not till I get back. Finally, I get back from Texas. And at that point, I'm like, keep the money. Go fuck yourself. I don't, like, now I just don't have anything anymore. Any sympathy, nothing. I decided to take a little tour on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I went to go look at his ex-girlfriend's page, right? So I go on there. Bitch, why the fuck did she post a whole date night video at some restaurant, Macaroni Republic, in downtown LA? Delicious restaurant, by the way. Michelin star, everything. And it was like she posted a video of them on a date night, and I looked at the date. Why was it the exact same day that I lent them the money? I just about lost my mind. I lost my mind because I was like, oh my God, like, no, this is not happening. So my plan at that point, it clicked in my head. I decided I'm gonna get my money back and I'm gonna blow up this man's life. So it took me like a week to get my money back. At first I wrote out a whole, I took out my journal and I went from the entire year, month by month, and I wrote out a timeline for this girl so that she had a time. And dude, Mae West said this, keep a diary and one day it will keep you. And that's true. Because I'm telling you, I wouldn't have been able to remember all the details and facts and shit without my journal. Mm-hmm. So going back and making a timeline for this girl to send it to her, like to have them ready the minute I got my money back. That was like, get the money, send the shit.
Yeah.
And so, so it took me a while and I had to turn into my mother and get real psychotic on him to get my money back, which I did. And after that, I sent her the timeline and I let her know. I'm like, look, I don't have any desire to discuss this any further after this. I'm sending you this timeline so you can know exactly what's going on with you. Honestly, I didn't expect that she was going to leave him. However, she comes back with, and this is real juicy. So she comes back with a even longer message than the one I sent her. And it said, thank you so much for, you know, reaching out. This is a sign. I'm actually sitting in my bed right now. Girl, wait for it. I'm sitting in my bed right now with two pills on each side of my cheek to have my third abortion from this man.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I didn't know. I'm saying this because I'm at my wit's end. Like, I have,
for a second, I was like a little, just hearing you say the story, like, why would you tell her anything? Because situations have happened before, and I had the same thought as you, like, she's not gonna leave him. But it's like, it's good that you did tell her, because she, why is she going to have a child with someone who doesn't value her? Well, thank God
she didn't. But I mean, that's three. That's three.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, a more lot. Than one. I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, when she told me that, I was like, I blocked her after I said, after I wasn't even able to block her in enough time to, like, not get the second message. So I got the message, but then I blocked her right after, because I'm like, I don't want this to be a back and forth thing. Like, that's not why I sent the message. I sent the message, honestly, to blow up as much of his life as I could so that he would stay away from me.
Yeah.
Because I wanted him to hate me. Like, with her. Yes. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Part of my goal was for him to, like, hate me. To, mm-hmm. like, so that I said all the truth that could just keep him far, far away, that he wouldn't even try to come back.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then, of course, the abuse and craziness starts from him. I blocked him, but then he starts calling and calling and calling unblocked. And, mm-hmm. I mean, because obviously when she's, tells him that she got that message, then that's it for him. I already knew he was gonna go crazy, but I was waiting at the house, like, I'm waiting for him to come, because I bet you he will come, because he's psycho.
Yeah.
And
did he go?
No, but he was calling and calling and calling. And so then immediately, that was when I wasn't answering, because I wasn't gonna answer, he starts saying, yeah, I'm gonna blow up your car, I'm gonna poison your cat, I'm gonna, all this, like, anything that he knew about me
that knew would hurt you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he said the cat thing, bitch, that was the end of it for me. That's when I decided to screenshot what she had sent me and send it back to him. And because he left me a voicemail that said, I hope you're happy. You caused this girl to have a miscarriage. At this point, he thinks all those are miscarriages. So I said, he said, you caused this miscarriage.
He's just telling you that so you can feel bad.
Yes, because he doesn't know that I know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So my last hurrah was to send him the screenshot of that and say, you can blame me all you want, but none of them were miscarriages. All of them were abortions. Congratulations. And then I blocked him, and that was it. But I mean, and I don't know whether or not that was the right thing to do, because the anger and the fucking rage that I felt when he threatened my cat, like, you guys.
Don't mess with her cat, y'all.
Fred.
Do not.
No. Like it was, you had it, like, not that you had it fine, but I didn't have to take it there, but you took it there. So then I took it there, and I'm not proud of what I did, but I was proud of my.
But my God, but him too, like, who in their right mind threatens, like, you have to be one sick motherfucker to threaten anything, just threats in general, like, and then you go off and, like, you know what's gonna hurt me, and then you do that, mm-hmm. like, you really have no heart.
Like,
how do you have all this time, how do you have this mind, like,
So so I send this back, and then you know, went little extra little piece that I'm gonna little add is that in the video, in the initial video that I had seen about the day TikTok. She posted, there's a point in it where she, like, puts a clip of him and he's all smiling with his food, like, whatever, and she puts proud sponsor, right?
Oh shit.
So then I just said, congratulations, you're the proud sponsor of three abortions.
Good job, bitch.
I was like, get the fuck away from me. Stay away from me, fucking devil.
Dumbass.
So that was my goal, which was to make him hate me. And I believe that I cheated, because guess what, guys? He hasn't reached out at all. And that was in January.
Oh, no, bitch. These men are crazy. Give it a few months.
Right? Well, I mean, I felt a lot more prepared.
Give it a few years.
I know. I feel a lot more prepared now to deal with it. Because, you know, like, in a weird way, I thank him. I thank him for teaching me a very, very important lesson that, like, which is, this is a lesson, ladies. If you're listening, any ladies, gentlemen, everyone, someone can look you dead in the eye and it can feel real and still not be.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to know that.
For sure.
It can feel completely real because people will study you. If they have mad intentions, they'll study you, see what your weaknesses are, your strengths, move around them. And like I said earlier, this whole situation caused me to, whether or not you've seen it on the outside, where you really see my mental health status is in what I'm doing, what I'm producing. Bless you.
Thank you. And
the fact that I wasn't producing anything should tell you all you need to know. And so it fucks with your self-confidence. It fucks with, and regardless of whether or not I had the strength to leave that situation, it doesn't mean that I left unscathed or without any pain. And so I think the pain manifested in me kind of being stagnant and not coming back to this, not coming back to podcasting, or not doing things that before I was in such a role last year. Like I was in a role, you know, and part of that role.
But I think that you have evolved. Just, you haven't been here, like you haven't been recording, but I think you have been doing good for yourself too, though. Like, me seeing you as your friend, I think you have been working on yourself.
Thank you, friend.
So,
and that's what's new. That's what, so we're going to transition to in now what's new. So you guys got the backstory. I did owe you an explanation because I do have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that like were getting something out of it and then it was just gone. And so I did want to provide you, I wasn't going to provide you with that many details, but guess what,
bitch? That was not supposed to be a part of this.
That was an on the outline that we made, okay? But I just felt like, you know what, I had wanted to bring that up and like just talk about it and say it because like I said, when you say something out loud, the more you put something dark into the light, the less power it has and you can move on a little better. And so I want to talk about now what's new. And so what's been new is I've been, like this morning, I just came from an NA meeting. I tried a new NA meeting here in Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we're recording live from Espacio 1839 in Boyle Heights. You got to come down here and check out the shop. And
lots of cute things here.
So many cute things. Shout out to Nico and Myra for letting me record here. And shout out to Nico for answering my call when I call him for the 500th time about how to turn on the...
That's because she's so tech savvy, you know?
Super. You don't call me Millennial Miha for nothing.
She's so millennial.
You guys, I had no idea what the fuck. I no matter how many times I do this, like turn on the knobs and all that, I still get confused. So shout out to Nico.
It was so funny. She was like, I can't hear myself on the mic. And he's like, I'm over here checking to make sure it's connected. And then he goes, okay, there should be an on and off switch button on the side.
On
the
mic.
Then she stays quiet. And I was like, what? And she's like, oh, it was off.
The mic was off. So in my last podcast last year, in the beginning of the year, if I sounded far away, that's because my mic was off. And so now I know how to turn it on. So again, thank you for people who are listening. And I wanted to provide you with that explanation. And so now you have it and a little extra juicy cheese may on the side.
Yeah, it's the real tea today.
The real tea. So, like I said, on Tuesdays is my day for self-care. I go to my hike during the day, and then I go to my meeting at 6 in Lincoln Heights, and then I go to DPL. Mm-hmm. I go to the Poetry Lounge. So it's a full Tuesday for me, but it's a full Tuesday of self-care. And it makes a difference because it's like you got to have a routine with the self-care thing. Like you got to have where mine fails is when I do it really good for a week and then I stop for a month. And I'll do it really good for a month and I'll stop for a week. And it's like when it's...
you feel like you need to have a routine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When it's inconsistent for me is mm-hmm. when it doesn't work for me. It's a form of self-care. So these meetings and also, you know, I've been cooking more, trying to move my body more, definitely want to get into the gym and been like trying to mentally push myself in that direction, but for now outside is my medicine. So the best I've been doing is my little walks and my
good.
Hikes.
I personally do not like the gym, so girl, I support you on being outside, getting that vitamin D and just going on walks. I feel like it's something that I think we all are scared of the gym and like just the judgment and or just being stared at or
it's
just
awkward.
Being around people that it's like they know what they're doing, you don't know what they're doing.
Yes, that's a big one.
And I am not a fan of that. Like, let me go get my cardio in. Like, I like to go to this trail, which I need to get back to that, but like it's cool because it's like it has a bunch of what is it called, I don't even know what it's called.
The hills?
It has a bunch of hills. I can't even. It has a bunch of hills and it's like, it, like, you know, you're the elevation. You're going up. You're going down. So it's like you're still, you know, doing a little bit of strength on your legs. But you know, it's better. Yeah. For me, I think it's better than going to the gym. Like, of course, obviously, you need to, like, you know, upper strength and whatnot.
Like, yeah, that's where I think, like, what I want to work on. Yeah, yeah, but it's taking me time to
get there.
It's taking me time to, like, put, like, get my ass up to want to go and do that. I think the benefit for me, for the reason why I don't have a hard time going to my hiking or my thing, is because being outside already feels good.
Yeah.
But to go over there, and then it's like you're inside, number one, then there's all these people around, and then I have this character defect, mm-hmm. where I think everybody is worried about me when they're not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I feel awkward when nobody's fucking worried about me, but you know, it's just like this mental thing. So yeah, you're right. But what
have
else?
Have you been to the Culver City Stairs?
Yeah.
Like Jen took me there, and it was really nice. I think you would like it. I mean, it is like
pretty intense.
It's because the steps are like really wide. I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, I think, but they also have like a trail,
mm-hmm.
so it's cool, you know, like to start up with something.
It's the perfect weather, and I'll be outside. So I'm so grateful to speaking of that, I'm so grateful to be from LA and to be in this weather, and I feel like we are just so blessed. Like, we're literally so fucking
lucky.
We're
so spoiled with this weather. I Mexico weather was not it. It was so humid.
Really?
It was disgusting.
Oh, she just got back from Mexico. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But what else? So what else is new is I've been going on Friday adventures with Molly, and that has been super fun. I've wanted to take her around more to LA because, okay, here's the thing. Like, when you get stuck in your pocket, Molly's from Pasadena. I'm from Pasadena as well. But I feel like I'm from Pasadena, but I know LA. But there's people who never leave Pasadena. Mm-hmm. I feel like Molly was one of those people. And I mean, who's going to take her? So I love showing her around the city the way my dad showed me around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And like sharing the little stories with her and, you know, getting her to eat things for the first time. And like, mm-hmm. I love seeing the world through Molly's eyes. If you're listening to this and you don't know who Molly is, Molly is a friend of mine, a sister of mine.
Please explain, because remember, I thought when she used to talk about Molly, I really thought she was like, oh, I was hanging out with my friend Molly. And I'm like, is she on drugs? Because I'm like, is her homegirl Molly really like
Molly?
She's
like, damn, she's really close with Molly.
Yeah, I was confused. And then later on, I found out it was an actual person. I was
so
like,
Molly.
Yes, please introduce her.
Molly, it needs no introduction. Molly is, she's a character. Molly is she's about to be 26. Fuck, July 14th, she's going to be 26. She is a client, I guess you could call it. That's my title, is like her support team, but she has Down syndrome, and I've been with her since she was in sixth grade at Blair Middle School in Pasadena, and I was her aide. I started as her aide, and I was with her all the way until she graduated high school, and then even after that, she grew up, and now I still take her to college. And so, you know, there have been times where I didn't work with Molly, but Molly has still been in my life. You know, I got really close with her family, and they asked me to come around a lot, even when I wasn't working with her, you know, family events and all that. And Molly has been such a consistent part of my life, and I truly see her as a sister. And so taking her around LA and getting to hang out with her and seeing the world through her eyes is so fun. So if you guys watch my stories, you probably will see Molly.
Molly and her friends.
Yeah, Molly. Well, we brought her one friend, Luke, yesterday. I took them to Placito Olvera on the metro. Mm-hmm. And so it's, because you, as a person that doesn't have an intellectual disability, you would never realize how little people with intellectual disabilities pick up on. And so they need to be told directly how to do things, or what things are, or this is how we act. Or so, you know, going through school with Molly, and then going and then just experiencing the world with Molly is like a lesson in patience, but also a lesson in joy and like seeing things clearly. Like, Molly has such a gift to be able to access her joy so quickly and so often and so just in a way that it makes other people happy. She definitely has she doesn't have a stop button or an off button. And what's crazy about Molly is that, so we start early in the day, and we, you know, most people are getting tired as time goes on. Molly's energy is barely getting started, and she like ramps up closer to the end of the day, which So it's funny, and I'll always have a conversation with her because my thing with her is zip it. I'll be like, Molly, zip it. And yesterday I looked at her, I just gave her a look. She was singing really loud, like right next to me, and I just gave her a look. She goes, I know, zip it. She's funny, dude. So we just, man, me and Molly are like, we're.
You guys know each other.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do. And I'm just really grateful for that relationship in my life. So that was yesterday, Friday. And then Friday night, I went to a fundraiser for my friend Sade Alhuari, who is running for California State Assembly, which is a big fucking deal. Yesterday, they announced that they had raised $160,000. And that is a lot. And I really am. She's okay. So Sade is a person who in Pasadena, she was always like that girl. Like she was the one that she went to Harvard. She was always doing, like, she was always involved in some club. And I was, too, but Sade was definitely more, like, I was still a little bit more on the, like, I would be as equal amount of time doing, like, school activities as I was, like, hanging out. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was kind of still a little hood around the side. But, like, I would still be, like, I'm here for my award. I'm going to go in the back now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, so, but Sade was, like, always, like, that girl when it comes to, when it comes to achieving things, you know? And so to hear that she wanted to run for this, it just made sense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to support her however I can. Sade for Assembly, .org, I believe it is. And it's Sade, like Sade the singer. I've been friends and basically part of her family for years now. Her friend, her sister Jasmine is a good friend of mine. And, you know, I feel a part of that family and I feel a part of their successes too. And so I feel very proud of her, you know, seeing her constantly strive for bigger things. And, you know, she's the type of person who doesn't stay at one place. Mm-hmm. She's always trying
plotting
to
more.
Yeah, she's always plotting on more. And it's always has some way, somehow, it's never a goal that only affects her. It's always a goal that is for everyone around her. And that's what I really admire about Sade. So if you guys get the chance to support her, vote for Sade for California State Assembly. On Sunday, I'm excited because I will be going to the DPL, the Poetry Lounge 25th Anniversary Picnic is this Sunday. It's a kickball game and picnic that we do every year. We're celebrating 25 years of the Poetry Lounge, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't been yet, have you?
I've never gone.
Okay, well, that's because you have Julian, and it's on Tuesday nights, so mm-hmm. it's
yeah,
hard for
no,
you to get
during
over there.
The week, yeah, during the week, I really can't do anything because I want him to be in bed at 8:30.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, already, mm-hmm. yeah, going to sleep.
It's a hard time slot, even for me, because I work, the next day I work at 8:30, but part of me...
It starts at 9, right?
Yeah, it starts at 9.
Yeah, that's late.
But part of this whole, like,
also,
you know,
I work early, so... It's that's yeah. why it's late.
It's just like you're like, can I zoom in? part of me going to the lounge, you know, I left the lounge for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
There was a falling out with a friend I had, and even though I had been there the exact same amount of time and was friends with all the exact same people,
yeah.
my defense mechanism is to disappear.
Yeah.
And
you just wanted a distance.
And so mm-hmm. in doing that, I really isolated not only myself but the people that thought I was their friend too.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got to recognize that, and I really got to take accountability for that.
Like,
and so this year, starting January, I made a commitment to myself that I was coming back to the lounge. And when I say coming back, I mean not just coming in, watching a little bit, and then leaving, but like being a part of that community again.
Like being how you were,
yeah,
mm-hmm, with them.
And but also slowly too, because I left too, you
yeah.
know, like, in a way, I abandoned it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, no one knows either what was going through my head, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not the type of person that will make a speech and then leave.
Yeah.
You just never hear from me again.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's probably hurt there too, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's been slow but sure, and it makes me feel so home every time I'm there. Like, DPL, no matter what, even when I was coming very sporadically, like, through those 5 years that I wasn't consistent, I would come and I wouldn't go in the kitchen anymore. I wouldn't, like, talk to anyone really, but I was there because there's a very comforting
feeling
that I get from going there, because there was a lot of years in my life where my life was measured in Tuesdays. You know, it was like, there's not a lot of opportunities in real life to be vulnerable or to like mm-hmm. hear others be vulnerable. And so being in that space every Tuesday, it was like church. It was like this place where you could go and feel this like comfort and family and then go about your week, you know, and you take that with you, that feeling. And so coming back was, I felt like the prodigal daughter returning, like, you know, and it was like, hey, you know that audio?
Yeah.
Like, the TikTok audio.
Hey.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
That was me. Exactly.
Oh my god, I love TikTok.
That was me. And but like you kind of have to, if you want relationships, is what I'm learning. If you want relationships, you have to be willing to do what it takes to maintain them. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing. I come from a family that doesn't maintain relationships. So my mom, when she would. My dad was a different story because he was in the fellowship of NA and showed me different ways, but I was primarily with my mom. So you kind of like take on their characteristics and their coping mechanisms, you know? So in my experience, when someone pisses you off, or they don't even have to know they pissed you off, you just never talk to them again.
Yeah.
That's no way to keep a friend, let me tell you. Yeah. You know, and that has been my mom's experience. And I've also seen how now at 66 years old, how many of those friends are not in her life anymore. And I don't want that to be my story.
For sure.
And so I'm making a real true effort to develop the personality or the characteristics that make a good friend so that I can have good friends. You know, because it has to be a going back and forth. It can't. And I'm still struggling with that a little because I sometimes will forget to check in or, you know, whatever. But I am making a big effort, and that's a lot more than I could say for myself last year. And so this year has been an effort for me in my whole recovery of, like, you know, my self-esteem and all that shit that happened with that whole story earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mission that I was on to bring myself back to life. That's what I was calling it, you know? And so DPL has been a big part of that. And to celebrate 25 years and to be there for Founders Night last Tuesday was... You know, I think you forget how special something is sometimes. And to be there with all the founders, Jamel and Shihan and Dante and Poetry. And like, I know them. Like, those are like, we call each other brother and sister. Like in mm-hmm. DPL, that's your sister, that's your brother, whatever. You know, and so to be that close to people who I remember. And Shihan was on the stage last Tuesday night. And if you know, if you watched Deaf Poetry, he has a poem called Type Love, and it's like a super famous poem. And I remember being a kid in middle school and watching him do this poem on Deaf Poetry and being literally in awe, like, what? Like, how did someone do that? Because at that time, you're like, I was like, I think it was in eighth grade, and I had never seen this before. I had never seen poetry other than like Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know it could be like this. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, imagine you're a little kid and
you have the volume down.
And I'm going to play a little bit of Shihan's poem.
I want to love like me thinking of you, thinking of me, thinking of you type love, or me telling my friends more than I've ever admitted to myself about how I feel about you type love, or hating how jealous you are, but loving how much you want me all to yourself type love, or seeing how your first name just sounds so good next to my last name, and shit, I wanted to see how far I could get without calling you, and I barely made it out of my garage. See, I want a love that makes me wait until she falls asleep, then wonder if she's dreaming about us being in love type love, or who loves the other more, or what she's doing at this exact moment, or slow dancing in the middle of our apartment to the music of our hearts, closing my eyes and imagining how a love good could just hurt so much when she's not there, and shit, I love not knowing where this love is headed type love. And check this, I want to place those little post-it notes all around the house so she never forgets how much I love her type love, then... Not have enough ink in my pen to write all the insta love about her type love, and hope I make her feel as good as she makes me feel. And I want to deal with my friends making fun of me the way I made fun of them when they went through the same kind of love type love. Only difference is, this is one of those real love type loves. And just like in high school, I want to spend hours on the phone not saying shit, and then fall asleep, and then wake up with her right next to me. And-
So as this poem is playing, I'm literally saying the words, like I'm mouthing the words, because that was how big of an impact deaf poetry had on me. And like, I'm looking at the YouTube page right here, right? And on the side, there's Edwin Bodney, there's Erykah Badu, there's Thea Monnier, there's poetry, there's Taylor Molly. Dude, these people, I know these people. I don't know Erykah Badu, but you know, there's like, how did I go from being a little kid watching this on TV to my full circle moment of like being at the 25th anniversary with all these people whose numbers I have in my phone and can call them anytime I want. And like these people that are icons to others, to myself included. But like, you got to sometimes stop and realize like how special things are. And that 25th anniversary and this, you know, being able to celebrate and being back for it too. And knowing that I spent the last whole year working on that relationship to be able, so it felt really special to be there and to just share that moment in time with that with the DPL family and just be back and soak it all up. And you know, I just feel really grateful to to be a part of it, to be a part of that legacy, because the DPL is a legacy and it's a big deal in LA. And you know what else is next? Upcoming, next thing I have coming up is I'm also doing my first workshop for the year. So I'll be doing an inner child workshop. It's going to be a collaboration with a friend of mine named Diana, who has a store called Rooted Thrift. And her store, she curates only like 90s toys and nostalgia. So, So when I saw her stuff and I saw that she had posted a few months ago that she wanted to do an inner child workshop, I already had one. So I like immediately contacted her and I was like, hey, we should collab because she has all this cool stuff. And I really get like excited. If I can get excited off of an idea, I can ride that shit all the way to the workshop. So all I needed was that little excitement or little like spark of like, ooh, that could be cool. And then I've been riding that little wave all the way until July 9th, which is when the workshop is. And so, this will be my first workshop from the year, which in last year and the year before, I feel like I was so consistent. I was doing one like a lot, you know, but things slowed down and I'm coming back into it. And I feel excited that this is going to be the first one I do, because we have so many, it's a workshop that's never been done before, you know, like I'm sure there are many inner child workshops. And there are many thrift stores. But I mean, to put the two things together is what's, I feel it's going to make it so magical. Like we have a cool playlist, like that's meant to spark nostalgia. We're going to have Disney movies playing, like projected on the wall. We have such a cool space. It's at Crane Studio in El Sereno. And it's like full of light. There's all these like windows around. And I just feel like we're also going to have sangria and virgin sangria. Because I want to include all the sober babies that are trying to stay clean and working on it. And I have a couple friends too that I think that they will appreciate that.
Or even if you just don't drink or never drink, you know?
So that is going to be a, I felt that I was going to wait until I did that workshop and use the energy and the like, because I literally feel electrocuted after I do the workshop. Like, I feel like I got this spark of, like,
okay, I got to do some
creativity. I can do this, you know? And so I was going to wait until that to do a recording, to do a podcast. But then when I saw Spontopass and I had those feelings, I just had this overwhelming feeling of we don't have as much time as I thought we did. You know, I'm so grateful for you, my friend. I really, truly am.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming here today for... all I had to say was that I wanted to do this and she came to my rescue, you know, like we're going to go get lunch after this and catch up and we haven't seen each other in a while, but I know that I can count on you and that's like a big, oh God, I got a little,
I love you.
It's a big deal. Yeah. Thank you.
No, anytime. I know how she feels. So she always tells me like, I want to record. Can you come? I already know what that means. I'm like, yes.
Because
I literally don't even have to say the thing. Like she just needs me to sit here next to her.
Sometimes it's like parallel play. Like those of you that listen to me that also have ADHD or whatever else we got shit. There's something called parallel play where, or body doubling where like to complete a task, people who are neurodivergent simply require another body in the room. They don't necessarily even have to help us with the task, but it is a plus that I get to talk to you and you're in my podcast. But sometimes just the presence of another human being is gives you enough accountability that you're not going to just sit on your phone for fucking 5 hours or like, oh, let me go see what's in this closet or just fucking anything I could do to get away from the actual task, you know? So even it was funny because right before I started feeling the little stomach.
She was feeling nervous, the butterflies.
Yeah, the feeling of like, oh, here we go. But it's like, I don't know what I'm nervous about. I think creating.
She was overthinking it. She even was like, okay, well, how does this look? And I'm like, girl, let's stop talking. I'm like, and start recording. I was like, because literally we say so much good shit before we record.
Trying to get the episode together. I'm like,
and then
together.
When it gets to the actual episode, like our conversation.
We forgot. We already had it.
She'll remember after this. It's probably going to happen again today. She's like, oh, I forgot to say that.
But I'm just like, I think.
She's back.
I'm back. And I think what the nerves are is that no matter what it is, listen to me when I'm telling you this. If you are a person that has something you want to do or something you want to create or something that you want to make as an offering into this world, you're not going to be able to do it without feeling nervous. You're just not. And so what that means is you got to feel the nerves and do it anyway. Do it scared. And that's like my biggest piece of advice, because everything I do, and I know to other people it looks like I'm fine and I'm not. What you don't know is what's going on the inside. And on the inside, it's chaos. I feel scared. I feel nervous. I feel like what I'm saying is stupid. I feel like all these things, my brain will come up with all these reasons why I shouldn't do it, or oh, you know, the microphone's not the best, so maybe you should wait to do the whole podcast until you get a new. No, do it with the microphone you fucking got, bro. That's it. There's not a nice enough microphone that's gonna take away your nerves. So that's the lesson, and that is the message that I want to leave you guys with today.
With that being said, Angie inspired me to be TikTok famous.
She said, so I will be starting my TikTok journey right after this podcast is over.
Go follow my Amazon storefront.
Link in bio.
It really is, though. I just have not promoted it, which people make money off of that.
Dude, off TikTok?
Off of Amazon storefront.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Like, I got approved for an Amazon storefront, and I haven't promoted it, which I should, because Prime Days are coming too. And they keep sending me emails like, hello, get to work. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, whatever it is that you got cooked up inside your brain, that you're too nervous or too, or putting shy. Off. Yeah, too shy, too self-conscious, too whatever. Then I just want to encourage you and remind you, send you a gentle reminder. That we don't have as much time as we thought we did. And life is precious and time is short. And I hope that you will make the most of it. And I know that I'm going to try to. It's the best of my ability. I'm going to try to make the best of it. Try to make the best of this beautiful day. We're going to go have lunch after this.
I'm hungry. Ketchup. I have not ate all day.
Well, we're going to change that. I just want to say again to the people who listen to this podcast, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. For listening and for keeping up with me, and for those people who are asking about the podcast, here it is. So I'll be back with another episode soon, hopefully. And in the process, I'll let you go. Welcome back. Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good? I know you like that. I know you like that.